So,
The next presentation is entitled High Temperature Inhibits Fertilization Efficiency, Carbohydrate Metabolism, and Energy Levels in Cotton Pistils. The presenter is John L. Snyder, and co-authors are Derek M. Osterhuis, Briggs W. Skullman, Eduardo M. Kawakami, and Diana K. Storch.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Eduardo Kawakami, and I'm presenting this paper for John Snyder. Unfortunately, he was not able to come, so he really apologized for that, and so please ease in the questions. The title is High Temperature Inhibits Fertilization Efficiency, Carbohydrate Metabolism, and Energy Levels in Cotton Pistils. So cotton is the most important fiber crop in the world, and gossypium is certainly responsible for 90% of the production of the cotton production. And last year, we have over 100 million of bale produced around the world. In cotton production, flour is a really critical event, a really important event. So flour initially is open as a white flour, and pollinization occurs a few hours after that, and fertilization does not occur after 12 or more hours later. So in order for the embryo to develop to seeds and to become fiber, fertilization is really important. So therefore, pollen tube growth is extremely important in order for fertilization to occur. So since fibers develop around the seeds, fertilization needs to occur. So every aspect that inhibits the pollen tube growth can also affect yield. Another aspect of looking at the cotton production is if you look at the ball, 60% of the carbohydrate that it is developing to fibers and all the metabolites that it is in the ball comes for the subtendon leaf. So every experiment that you are doing that and looking at the ball, you also need to have some measurement in the subtendon leaf, so see what's happening in the subtendon leaf as well. So year-to-year variability is extremely concern for cotton farmers in the industry. And as you can see here is in a graph in the your right, so you have pounds of length per acre, and you have year. Although you have a positive trend, which means that yields are increasing through the years, we have a lot of variability. One of the causes for that might be related to high temperature. And here's a work done by Osterhuis in 2002. So here in this graph, here you can see length yield and temperature, average temperature. As the temperatures increase, we have seen a negative trend in which yields also tend to decrease. So this is an indication that high temperature might be affecting the variability in cotton yields through the years. The optimal temperature range for cotton growth, photosynthesis, metabolism, pollen tube growth, and also yield is around 27 to 33 Celsius. The problem is that in the Mississippi Delta, when the cotton is grow, the temperature can reach temperatures above levels of 38 Celsius. So this can be a major concern. So pollen tube growth depends on the readily available carbohydrates and energy supplies by the pistil. The thing is that heat stress reduces the carbohydrate allocation to the flowers by decreasing photosynthesis of the subtendon leaf, so decrease the amount of the carbohydrates produced, and also increase dark respiration and also photorespiration, which is consuming carbohydrates that can be allocated to the flowers, and also decrease carbohydrate translocation by the position of callose in the sieve plates. So the hypothesis that high day temperature would decrease soluble carbohydrate supply and energy status in the pistil due to decreased source leaf activity. The hypothesis is that the objective is to measure the effect of high day temperature on pollen tube growth, soluble carbohydrate content, and energy on cotton pistil, and also to measure the effect of high day temperature on the physiology of the subtendon leaf. So the materials and methods that the experiment was conducted in January 2008 and repeated in April 2008. We used the cotton Varstone View 4554, and the pots that we used was 2 liter pots, and we used two walk-in grow chambers with 12 hours photo period and 70% relative humidity. The temperature treatment consists of a control temperature, which is 30 and 20 Celsius day-night temperature regime. And the high temperature regime was a 38 and 20 Celsius day-night temperature regimes, which was imposed 1 week prior to flowering, and the temperature was kept 38 until the end of the experiment. So the method of sampling, we collect white flowers from the first symposium position and from the nodes 5 to 10 at midday for biochemical measurements, and flowers for anatomical measurements, flowers were tagged and collected 24 hours later. The subtending leaf was collected at the same time as white flowers were collected. So here is just an illustration of how we measure the anatomical of the ovaries of the ovules. So pistil was harvested 24 hours later after anthesis, was fixed in FAA, ovules was taken off of the ovary and was cleared with the sodium hydroxide, and ovules was squashed and stained for 6 hours in an bloom, and was looking, you can see in this picture, using a UV microscope, this is the entire ovule, so you can see the embryo sac and the pollen tube grow. And in this way, we counted the total number of ovules, fertilized ovules, and also pollen tube to ovule ratio. Look at the measurements. We measure soluble carbohydrate using a microplate reader set to a 340 nanometer wavelength. We measure all the soluble carbohydrates was converted to glucose and was detected by the microplate reader. We also measure ATP using a luminometer. A little bit more measurements. Chlorophyll content we measure using spectrophotometer. Photosynthesis and conduction was measured using LICOR 6200. And we measure quantum yield using a fluorometer. Basically, this measures the efficiency of the photochemical of the photosynthesis system too. The statistics, the anatomical and biochemical parameters were analyzed using student e-test with alpha level 0.05. N equals to 15 for pistil, N equals to 42 for leaves. Look at these results. At this point of the presentation, I will clarify to all the bar graphs that it is illustrating this presentation. It's in the way that the blue bar graph, it is the normal temperature, or I would say the optimum temperature, which is 30 to 20, and the red bar graph is the high temperature, 38 to 20. So looking at the numbers of ovules per ovary, we have seen that high temperature significantly decreased the number of ovules per ovary. And when we look at the numbers of the amounts of fertilized ovules per ovary, and also decrease at high temperature. A little more, in the fertilization efficiency, which was calculated from the numbers of ovules per ovary and also fertilized ovules, also significant decrease at high temperature compared to the normal temperature. Look at the biochemical measurement in the pistil, the soluble carbohydrate, significant decrease in the high temperature, as well as ATP content. Now we're moving to the source leaf activity, which is the subtending leaf adjacent to the ball. We have seen that photosynthesis significant decrease at high temperature in the source leaf activity, although stomatal conduction significant increase at high temperature, mainly due to the higher vapor pressure deficit. Looking at the source leaf activity, the amount of chlorophyll also significant decrease at high temperature compared to the normal temperature. Looking at the yield, which is the photochemical efficiency of the photosynthesis too, also significant decrease at high temperature compared to the normal temperature. When we measure the ATP content in the source leaf activity, we did not see any significant difference between the optimum temperature and high temperature. So in summary, if you see here in the table in the right, is the high day temperature compared to the optimal day temperature. Looking at the flowers, fertilizer efficiency decrease, number of ovules per ovary also decrease, amount of ATP in the pistil decrease, and also soluble carbohydrate decrease. Looking at the leaves, which is a subtending leaf, photosynthesis decrease at high temperature compared to the optimal temperature, conduction increase, chlorophyll decrease, quantum yield decrease, and ATP was unchanged. So in conclusion is that with heat stress, limiting reproductive success by decreasing in vivo fertilization efficiency, and also we conclude that decreased carbon fixation by the subtending leaf and reduced soluble carbohydrate allocation to developing flowers. Because fertilization efficiency declined with carbohydrate and ATP, we conclude that energy requirement for reproductive development cannot be sufficiently met at heat stress condition. These conclusions are also supported by experimental done with Arabidopsis, with a mutant exhibiting thermostable photosynthesis, also used a much higher number of seeds compared to a thermosensitive variant. Therefore, selection for thermotolerant photosynthesis in cotton may be an important method for decreasing year-to-year variability in yield. So some acknowledgement, Dr. Skalman, Dr. Sturz, me, Dimitra Loka, Dennis Storch, Marina Isander, Dr. Spielberg, and also Cotton Incorporated. And now I'll be ready for any questions if you might have.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry?
The quantum yield of photosynthesis did not
change. It decreased significantly. The magnitude was not high, but was significantly different.
All right. So what's significant in just curious to know why photosynthesis was not effective. Your conductance went up.
But photosynthesis decreased also at high temperature. I would think that under high temperature, the plant is just trying to cool itself. That's why, and the vapor pressure depth is higher, so that's why it just lose water. That's what I would say. And then if you see the photochemical efficiency of the photo, I'm sorry?
Under the same light conditions?
Yes, everything the same light conditions.
I would assume that the conductance goes up, but photosynthesis goes down, there must be some
deviation.
Increased your understanding of the fertilization efficiency by looking at the pollen size.
Looking at the pollen size effect.
Yeah.
Can I answer that?
We did look at the pollen size, and we had more than adequate pollen on the stigma, and we had more than adequate pollen tubes starting out of the stigma.
Did it all look good?
They all looked fine. Then the changes came about.
You've got control pollen.
So there weren't any differences in the germination of the pollen?
No, it was more than adequate. We got nice photographs of them germinating on the stigma.
Do you have time for one more question, if there is one?
I just have one more about the 20. You had a constant night time of 20 degrees.
Yes. The thing is that we just changed the day temperature to not affect that, to put so much variability in it, so we just kept at 20, and that's what we've been doing. So we could not.
No.
All right, thank you very much for a good talk.